today on It's Time.
But God's good. And God lets us see that in spite of these wicked actions, God still forgave them and used them.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
But the problem is, the Bible is, and not a problem, but the problem is, God reveals to us the true nature of what we're like. This is why Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again." We need a new nature. Why? Because our hearts can be filled with getting even. Getting even will eat you alive. And friends, if you ever find yourself in that mode of getting even, you need to take it to Jesus. Because the problem is, that will eat you up. The Bible says to bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Why is that? Because if you don't, you can begin to hatch schemes. And in those schemes, you will find yourself compromising that love that God has for you and supplanting it with hatred or vengeance. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I don't know how God's going to deal with an individual. Now, years ago, I remember when we were downtown, Joe, he was our guitarist back then in the band, and he came into church on Sunday morning with a black eye. And I said, "Joe, what happened to you?" And he goes, "Oh, Mike, you know, I manage these apartment complexes over by the college. This is here in town." And he goes, "These cowboys got really rowdy and they were partying until 3 a.m. And he says, "I went over and said, hey, we're an apartment complex. There's other people here. I'm getting complaints. Shut up, knock it off, and close it down. The curfew here is like 10 o'clock. And I said, "Well, how'd you get a black eye?" He says, "They all jumped me. And one knocked me to the ground and kicked me in the face with his cowboy boot." I said, "Man, that's a nasty shiner." And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what'd you do?" And he said, "I went and prayed." And I said, "What did you pray?" And I didn't know what to pray. He just said, "I knew I needed to pray." And I began to pray. And I said, "Wow, that's really good." I said, "Well, why did you pray?" And he said, "I wanted to kill him. I wanted to go back in my house and get my shotgun and kill him. And instead, I prayed." Now, see, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And Joe was a mature Christian. He knew God. He was playing bass on Sunday morning. He was a ministering servant of God. And he said, "Instead of getting a gun, I prayed." And I thought, "Wow, that's really incredible. Joe, that's neat." I mean, didn't make the big old black eye go away and the gash in his face. It was a number of years later, Joe had moved back to California, and there was an individual sitting in my office. And Joe happened to come to town. He did the pop in. I said, "Hi, Joe." And he goes, "Hi." I said, "This is Rick." I had a lot of talks with Rick. And he said, I said, "You two have met before." And Joe goes, "No, I don't believe so." And I said, "Oh, yes. Yes, you have." I said, "Joe, do you remember when you got kicked in the face years ago and you had that black eye and you went and prayed rather than getting your shotgun and killing him?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, this is Rick. He's the one that kicked you in the face." I said, "He's now a pastor of a church." And had you kicked him, had you went and got your shotgun and killed him, you would have killed the pastor of this church. But instead, you prayed and asked God to change your heart. And now, because of your obedience, this man who you would have killed are leading people into the kingdom of heaven. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you know, I believe that's so important because rather than this happening here, these brothers hatched a scheme of vengeance to destroy these people. Now, what is what this guy did right to Dana? No. He was guilty as guilty can be. But the punishment didn't fit the crime. And so, as we, or the punishment didn't fit the crime. So it says, verse 14, we cannot do this thing to give you our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be reproach to us. Now remember, circumcision was a covenant between the Jewish people and God. Now, people get into a lot of different things here, but it's a type of living sacrifice, okay? We'll get into this at a later date. But it's a type of living sacrifice. And that was a covenant that God made to Abraham, and that would God would honor. And so they use this thing of covenant to hatch their scheme of murder. Now, we're going to see what happens here. But on this condition, we will consent to you if you become as we are, if every male of you is circumcised. Then we will give you our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we'll become one people. Now, again, this is in violation of what God said to Jacob, to Isaac, to Abraham. And so it says here that you do this and we'll all get along together. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone. And their words pleased Hamor, Shechem, Hamor's son. Okay, that seems reasonable. No doubt they'd heard about circumcision before from other cultures. And so, yeah, okay, we'll allow this to happen to us so that we can all be one. But here's what's really weird. As these two sons of Jacob, primarily Levi and Simeon, are hatching this scheme, these people of Shechem are hatching their scheme. This is intrigue to me, friends. This is like, you know, like a soap opera that doesn't end. Everybody's dirty, sneaky thief and everybody. So, Hamor and Shechem, his son, verse 20, came to the gate of the city. Oh, excuse me, verse 19. And so, the young man did not delay to do this thing because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the household of his father. Hamor and Shechem then, his son, came to the gate of the city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, these men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it, for indeed the land is large enough for them and us. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only condition is, will the men consent to dwell with us if one and be one people if every male among them is circumcised according to like they are circumcised? Now here's their scheme, verse 23. Will not their livestock be our property? Will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Uh-oh. You see, they were plotting to take over them. And he goes on and he says, only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out from the gate of the city heeded Hamor and Shechem, his son, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of the city. Now, it came to pass on the third day, and by the way, from what doctor and medical people tell us, if this ever happens to somebody, not on the eighth day as a baby, but if you're older and you have this, it's almost it just about completely incapacitates you for doing anything. You're so sore. Couldn't do anything. Notice it says they waited to the third day. When they were in pain, that the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dana's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. Wow. This is pretty heavy duty. So they raped his sister, but then they killed the entire males of all the town. And they took and killed Hamor and Shechem, son with the edge of the sword, and he took Dana from Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. Again, the punishment didn't match the crime here because they killed many innocent people in the process of doing so. They took their sheep, their oxen, their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, all their wealth, all their little ones, their wives, they took captive, and they plundered even as it was that was in their houses. Wow. You can see why many historians say you'd probably want to leave this chapter out of Israel's history because it's kind of like really imbalanced. But God's good. And God lets us see that in spite of these wicked actions, God still forgave them and used them. I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, God would never have me. I've done too many things wrong. If I walked into church, the walls will cave in. Really? Then you haven't read the Bible very much. I doubt if anybody in this room has pulled a snot like this. And yet God, who's Levi and Simeon, the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel, these are two of them. And so it says, then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the field, among the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I will be destroyed, my household and I. You know, it's interesting. Jacob was still self-focused. You know, never mind about all the innocent people that just got killed. He once again is going back to old Jacob. I got to watch out for number one. I'm the heel catcher. I'll get your goat. And he once again goes back. Instead of realizing who he was, governed by God, now he runs back to what he's used to. But they said, the brother said, should he treat our sister like a harlot? They're saying, Dad, you didn't deal with this according to what was right. A couple of things. Had he been in Bethel, this whole incident would have never occurred. Because he would not have been around people who had a different value system than he did. And even though you live outside of the city, doesn't mean that city outside will not affect you personally. Always remember that. Be careful of the friends and the company you keep. The second thing we find here, Jacob's unwillingness to execute some type of justice by when Shechem came to him and saying, no, you cannot have our daughter. You raped her. You guys are a bunch of heathens. Get out of here. We're leaving here. No, the brothers then, because of his lack of standing up for what was right, they took justice upon themselves. And their justice was unmetered because they were driven because who was raped was their sister. And kill the entire town. Jacob then goes back and says, everybody's going to come and kill me now because of what you guys did. And they said, yes, but when you look at this, you didn't do anything when they treated our sister like a harlot. See, once again, we see something interesting in the life of Jacob. Jacob, in spite of his shortcomings, and here it is, friends, and this is hard for us, God still used him. How much more will God use you because you love him? How much more is God's favor towards you because you want to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Jacob was worried about himself. When we become a Christian, as Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ who lives within me. That's where our posture of our life changes, and we're about our Father's kingdom. This morning I pray that if you're living like a Jacob and you're seeing a lot of things go wrong and you know you're not where you're supposed to be, that this morning perhaps God would speak to your heart and tell you it's time to come home. That it's time to come back to what God's best is for you. So then you can quickly get where God wants you to be. We're going to read one more verse. Chapter 35, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there. Do you catch anything about this? I called you, I told you to go to Bethel. You didn't go to Bethel. God put it in Jacob's heart to go back to Bethel. He didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to Shechem instead. All this mess, and the call remains the same. Go to Bethel and live there. You can try, even as a Christian, to be somewhere you're not supposed to be. And you'll never find the peace of God there. Because you're not supposed to be there. Now, Mike, are you saying Twin Falls, Idaho? No, maybe it's a lifestyle you're having where you're dwelling. Maybe it's this thought process you have that you keep going back to or taking it upon yourself, trying to figure out how to get vengeance or simply not realizing what's really going on. See, Jacob knew what was going on. He didn't want to do anything about it. Hey, your daughter just got raped and you don't want to make a stand. Maybe the reason he didn't want to make a stand was because he felt that he would get into war with the people of the land of Shechem. Don't know. But one thing I do know, to have and be where God wants you to be, you will be at peace. And the blessings of God will flow there. Somebody said one time, I want to be under the spout where God's glory comes out. If God says, stand right here and the blessings will fall upon you. But I choose to live over here. The blessings are over here, but I'm not receiving those. So what God wants me to do is realign my purposes with him. Stand and be where God's called us to be, and you'll see the manifold blessings, the miracles of God in your life. Friends, God is still in the miracle working business. But we need to be where God wants us to be to see that. This morning, I pray that if you're not a Christian, number one, you're not where you're supposed to be, I can tell you right now. You are being manipulated by the world in a magnetismal proportion. But when you come out of the darkness, you come into the light, God begins to do that. Now, sometimes the chatter of the world to us as Christians seems to be believable. And then we begin to think, you know what? Yeah, maybe I need to take a walk on the wild side. Take a stride from the master's side. And we do that. And we find ourselves with our heart filled with things that shouldn't be in there. Friends, I'm just telling you today, come home to Jesus. Rest in him. God doesn't want you anywhere else than in his love. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I know people in this room, I know people listening by radio say, but Mike, you don't understand what people have done to me. Yes, I do, and they've done it to me, and I've got to turn it over to God. Or like Joe, I will feel like going and killing them rather than praying for them because of what God will do in their life in the days to come. Let God be God. I don't want to be God. Let God be God. you're going to be happier. This morning, if you're not right with the Lord, I just invite you to pray this and come home to Jesus this morning. We're going to pray. And if you want God to do something new and refresh you in your life, if you're a Christian and you've been distant from God, you've been living on the wrong side, let's pray. Let's see what God will do. Let's pray right now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have walked against your best for my life. And so from this day forward, I commit my life into your hand. I ask you to make me the best I can be for you. So, Lord, born me anew by your Spirit. Put your heart in my life. Thank you for everlasting life. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, so fill me now with your Holy Spirit so I'll have power over sin and power to love people. Even the ones I don't like very much. And thank you for writing my name in your book of life forever, that I can spend eternity with you. So I commit my life into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that simple. Turn the title deed over to God. You know, it's really weird. I don't know how many people here have ever sold a house or a car. And the thing is, when you, just with a signature, it's not your house anymore. And all the things we're associated with that are now somebody else's life. Well, when you pray, it's like signing a document. You say, okay, God, take me at my word. Do you know, in many places or many countries around the world, your word is as good as a signature on paper? And so you say, Lord, take me. God says, okay, I'll take you at your word. And if you prayed that and meant it, God will take you at your word. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. The Bible says to read your Bible every day. Thy word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Start in the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament. Start in chapter 3 and just read and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Notice how Jesus responded to people that were mean to him. That's going to strengthen you inside. Then the Bible says to be in fellowship. So important. You're going to encourage one another. Hey, I had a tough day. Hey, let's pray. Let's see what God's going to do. Makes a lot of difference. Letting God be God in your life. And read every day. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. I've got a couple little DVDs I'd like to give you. Evolution versus God and God of Wonders. If God made how the birds fly and how everything in this planet works, how much more does he have a plan for you in your life? And I'll be glad to give those to you. Or if you're already a Christian, but you want to use those for evangelism, come up after and say, Mike, I'd like to get those DVDs. I'll be glad to give them to you. Letting God be God. So important.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.